Good morning, good evening, or whatever it is where you are, good people. Welcome to the weekly roundup of Cow Daily, Friday episode. Just a few bits and bobs. Absolutely knackered today. One of my dogs had us up at 5 to 5 this morning. Hopefully he's not getting sent to the glue factory. Who knows, though? Let us know you're there in the comments. Please do comment, rate, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Also, if you could subscribe on YouTube as well. And if you're watching this anywhere but YouTube at the moment, please do watch it there, because we're trying to get YouTube monetized just now. We're going to basically cover the things. Sorry, I've got a bit of hair in my mouth there. We're going to basically cover the things that we just didn't get a chance to cover this week. Also, some fresh stuff today as well. So we'll get straight into it. What we have here. So this is from Beth Rigby. Exclusive. Gareth Quarry had been a lifelong Conservative but is now backing Labour. The millionaire businessman's first TV interview on why he stopped giving money to the Tories under Johnson and why he's now quit the party entirely and donated $100,000 to Labour. Oh, I wonder why. Let's hear from this guy.
Well, party members, as a boy you canvassed for the Conservatives. You were a party member. You've always voted Conservative. You were a donor. You donated tens of thousands of pounds. Then you stopped being a donor, but not only did you fall out of love with the Conservative Party, you are now a member of the Labour Party. That is quite a journey. How on earth did that happen?
I believe the Labour Party under Starmer and his colleagues is a left of centre, clearly left, quite rightly, left of centre alliance. And so that, in many respects, is the ground the Tories claimed to have at one stage, but definitely no longer do. So actually, yes, I've tacked marginally to the left, but it's not such a dramatic change.
My old crack there was going to get a drink of tea in just before that ended. I did, thankfully, but I've told you anyway. So anyway, he's saying, like, Beth Rigby's saying, like, how on earth has that happened? Like, what? How on earth? It's not like he's joined the Cuban Communist Party, is it? He's basically like, well, yeah, this thing, this is still going to make me money. It's back to Labour looking for big donors. It's not about sort of effectively like mass crowdfunding, which is through the membership, which it was previously. They want these big donors, so he's coming in with a nice tasty $100,000. We'll be over the weeks obviously looking more into the donors, because the donors are starting to like reveal themselves and show themselves. But Beth Rigby can shut up. I mean, like, why act so surprised? She knows, she's part of that whole lobby journalist thing. And also, just a side point, have you noticed how her gesticulations and hand movements have got really theatrical lately, the more she's bedded in? Mad, isn't it? Anyway, moving on, what else we got? As I keep saying, this popped up in the Telegraph. It's Michael Deacon, assistant editor. Come back, Boris. All is forgiven. Next to Liz Truss's troubled start, Bojo's chaotic final days feel like an era of blissful calm, order and sure-footed competence. I'm telling you, they're trying to manufacture consent to wheel this fool in as some kind of saviour. And also do the whole, well, it wasn't really all that bad bit. Watch the kind of narrative that develops. It'll not just be in the Tory graph, it'll be everywhere. The 50 pences will be put in the backs of the dickheads who are get wheeled out on the BBC and other these other talking head programs, and they'll just be like, well, it wasn't all that bad, in variants of the theme. I'm telling you, if they can get away with this, they're bringing them back. So moving on, and you can quote the Mystic Cow on this, I tell you. Something on the Labour files, which I'm just waiting on a statement coming out as well. So we'll talk more about it next week as well, because we can't really drop this stuff. But this is a post via Media Lens, who you should check out. So it goes on, a dossier on Labour Party Muslim members and their families in Newham, East London, containing private information about their lives and activities, was sent to Labour Party HQ in London. The dossier advised David Evans, Labour General Secretary, to suspend Newham's local parties and its Muslim leaders. In March 2021, Newham's two party branches were suspended. More than 5,000 mostly Muslim party members were thus denied a voice in the Labour Party democracy. Just put it in allegedly on the end of that for media lens. I mean, the Labour Party, you can find their response to that if you wish. Peter O'Bone, former Telegraph chief political commentator, said, "I found this dossier completely unbelievable reading. This is like reading some far-right tract by some demented American right-winger, and this is published or done inside the Labour Party. It's terrifying." Go and check it out. I think it's part four of the Labour files. It's only about 20 minutes long on Al Jazeera English's YouTube channel. Find these things out, because what's being attempted is a kind of crankification, once again, of anybody who tries to point the finger and go, look at all this truth and evidence over here. If you want to talk about that rather than how bad the Tories are, then you're a crank. It's all this, why can't you move on? Well, that's easy enough for me as a white person. I could probably move on, but a hell of a lot of people of colour are not feeling very welcome, not just in society, but in a party which should be standing tall for them. So I don't think we will be moving on, because without truth, there can be no reconciliation, and probably there'll be no reconciliation. So anyway, this is a little video that I saw kicking about, and this one's off TikTok, right? It's when who will be the future Queen Kate visited Ireland. Yes, indeed, Queen. Ireland does indeed belong to the Irish. If you couldn't quite hear that, it was subtitled, so if you're on the audio, check it out in the video. But the Tom Bob it is, she was saying, nice to meet you. It would be better if it was in your own country. I mean, I don't know what people thought doing like a walk around on the island of Ireland would result in, but here it is. That's what's happened. And I thought it was absolutely better. So what else we got in the news roundup? Well, yesterday, obviously, we spoke about Suella Braverman versus Rachel Reeves having a cruel off with Lee Anderson MP kicking in the backstairs and just possibly being crueler than all of them, but I'm unsure. But anyway, these are a selection of comments on Sky News' YouTube channel about the sinking of two migrant boats carrying 80 people off the Greek coast. There was a lot more than these comments, but here's a selection. Maverick Loggins, surely one of the engineers on board could have fixed it while the doctor saved everyone. Yeah, very funny. Reverie Fashion, imagine calling an invasion a migration. And OGW Ing, the knock-on effect is that up to 44-star hotel rooms will remain available to non-criminals in the UK for another couple of days. Obviously, notwithstanding the absolute vileness of talking about people like fleeing war and horrible situations, these things are like legion on like mainstream news. I mean, this was Sky News. And the mad thing is they're getting like loads of likes, and as you saw yesterday or listened to yesterday, if you haven't, go and have a listen to it. Lee Anderson MP, he was coming out with this 4-star hotel crack, and obviously we debunked that yesterday, so have a look. Lee Anderson, though, not content with observing the cruel off yesterday between Rachel Reeves and Suella Braverman, he's trying to have a cruel off with himself. This is a Tory party conference, and this is an altercation that he had with a disabled activist. Check it out.
Lies cost people's lives. Tory lies cost people's lives. Tory lies cost people's lives. Tory lies cost people's lives. Got anything to say for yourself?
So for the audio heads, basically an activist was chanting whilst filming Lee Anderson MP, and he's kind of stood there looking awkwardly. The activist asks, have you got anything to say for yourself? And Lee Anderson MP assaults him, knocking his camera. What a scumbag. I mean, sometimes you just got to say it as it is. And like, who the hell is this guy? He seems to be that like perfect sort of Venn diagram circle between what Labour is now and what the Tories are. Indivisible, a perfect circle. He did used to work for Gloria Del Piero, who now works for GB News. Gloria Del Piero, obviously, being a former Labour MP. And she wasn't a big fan of Corbyn either, strangely enough. Who knew? So keeping an eye on him, he's just an absolute rotter, eh? Like, what is wrong with this guy? So, apologies if I've been sniffing the last couple of days. I haven't got a horrifying cold, but I've just got that kind of the weather's changing cold. So that's what's happening with me just now. Right, what else we got here? Peter Oborn, it's just a little bit, he wrote something for Media Lens there, and another quote from it is an almost complete blanket of silence. It really is a remarkable demonstration of the near-totalitarian behaviour of British journalism, in inverted commas. Agrees. It's absolutely dystopian to see all of this stuff come out to virtually near silence, especially when you compare it and contrast to the treatment the previous leadership of the Labour Party received for stuff that's in the same ballpark, let's say, racism. Something from America, which I'm finding interesting, just from like sort of geopolitical element in terms of like potential global hegemony and which way it could go. And it's just something to keep your eyes on. This is from Senator Dick Durbin, who's a Democratic senator. He said, from unanswered questions about 9/11 and the murder of Jamal Khashoggi to conspiring with Putin to punish the US with higher oil prices, the Royal Saudi family has never been a trustworthy ally of our nation. It's time for our foreign policy to imagine a world without their alliance. For me, that's really quite an incendiary tweet, if you'll pardon the pun, from what I'm about to say, which is like from the first line about 9/11. It's been said for quite a number of years, and obviously quite a lot of the hijackers on 9/11 were Saudi nationals, as was Osama bin Laden himself. There's been a lot of questions that people have asked, but to have a senator saying this is really interesting. Obviously, the murder of Jamal Khashoggi as well. But what I'd like to point out is, if I would strongly suggest if Putin hadn't invaded Ukraine and all of these shenanigans with oil prices and whatnot hadn't been occurring, then the senator and the Americans in general would be saying, fuck all. Saudis have been doing all kinds for years, and there's been a close alliance, but now it might look like the Saudis are moving more towards the sort of Russians and Chinese. This kind of stuff's popping out. It will be interesting to see what actually does come out in regards to Khashoggi and 9/11. And also, if you're a Newcastle fan, I'd have your arse twitching, to be quite honest with you, because this is not good for any potential signings. There could be sanctions of all kinds. And as we all know, if the US do go for sanctions for whatever reason, then the poodle that is the UK are going to follow suit. What else we got following on? Damien Barr. Just something on this anti-growth coalition thing, which is a feature of Liz Truss's keynote speech at the Tory party conference. Damien Barr says, there is no anti-growth coalition. There are no enemies of enterprise. There are the imagined enemies of an exhausted ideology hell-bent on the destruction of the institutions, environment, and communities that are the heart of this country. That sounds like something that a writer would write. And turns out that is a writer, but what a beautiful description of a lot of what we're going through, all of us, just now. This is from Alison Pearson, screeching right-wing hack ghoul from whichever far-right tract will employ her, probably on a filthy day rate. Georgia Meloni isn't far right. She just says what we all think. When I listen to the new Italian prime minister speak, I hear mainstream conservative values that millions of people share. If you're a journalist, which is debatable, you would have the powers of research and you would know that she's an actual Nazi. She's a fascist, an actual fascist. And what this is the continued sanitization, if it can be called that, of far-right thinking by the likes of GB News, Talk TV. Obviously, the Mail's always loved a bit of that, going right back to Hurrah for the Black Shirts and that era around the Mosley time. So more of the same. If you want to know more about Georgia Meloni, also, you can go to a show to catch up on, and that is on all of the channels, Spotify, YouTube, and Apple Podcasts. I did a bit of breakdown of what led to Meloni's far-right government, and that's exactly what it is. So Alison Pearson, I don't know what, if anything, the accountability mechanism is around this outright lying. I've been keeping an eye on GB News, and I'll be doing bits and bobs on the coming weeks about this kind of like, when the Overton window really has well and truly shifted to the right. Going back to Britain First and dominating the internet with their abused dog posts, closely followed by like, have you thought about immigrants might be the problem for your clusterfuck of a life rather than the bad decisions you've made in the ends of a dying empire and broken economic system? This is where these people spring up from. Alison Pearson is a disgrace for this, but these people know what they're doing. If they don't, they're utterly stupid, because all of the information is the public domain. There seems to be this kind of like move towards just like, oh yeah, we'll just call everything a fascist, and like, as long as it's from the left, that's all right. It's in the same bloody ballpark as like, I didn't like Hitler for many reasons, but it was mainly the socialism part. Just on the National Socialist thing, the reason that the Nazis chose that was because the actual socialists and also the communists with Rosa Luxemburg in Germany at the time were doing quite well. Socialism and whatnot at the time was kind of a new ideology, so it was young and it was funky and it was fresh. That's what the socialism bit is. They sent socialists to concentration camps. Like, when I see this type of stuff repeated and repeated, it's just crazy to us. But that's the state of the media in these times now. So on that, if you would like to support independent media, please go to patreon.com/cowdaily. That's patreon.com/cowdaily. You can support our work there with a regular monthly subscription. Also, if you want to make a one-off donation to our work, links in the description to our PayPal. Also, we're trying to overturn the CIA in the podcast chart, and we need your help. I see all the reviews coming in. They're on a lag, so we're getting stuff through now from Sunday and Tuesday and all kinds. Please keep doing it. A walkthrough is in the description of this. Step 1 to 6. Dead easy. It'll take you about 20 seconds to do, and it'll be a massive help. Please share this. Please let people know that we're active and doing it, and please help out. Thanks for being here, and thanks for all your time. Have a wonderful weekend. Might see you over the weekend. Might pop up and do something on Sunday. If not, see you Monday morning. It just depends on exhaustion levels, because for me at the minute, I feel better after being seriously ill, but I'm not going to push it. I'm just going to keep in momentum and just see what happens. So much love. One love to you all. Take it easy. Bye-bye. If I can find the thing that I'm looking for. And I found it. See you tomorrow.